very warm welcome to our joint parish's worship today. Wherever you are, it's great to have your company. Before we go to worship, we're going to hear a little bit about what's happening around our various parishes. So to start off, Ewan, what's happening in Clooney and Monie Musk?
Hello, folks. There's not a lot happening this coming week. We're looking forward this Sunday to welcoming Tozzi to Monie Musk Church as I'm going up to Chapel of Beauty. And just in case anybody gets confused, I'm not running in the half marathon that's running around Chapel of Beauty today. I will be watching them as they run past. As long as the congregation I'm watching them, I'm preaching, that's the main thing for me. But this week we have our usual main music on Tuesday and then midweek Bible study. And just again, a wee bit of advance notice on the 4th and 5th of June, the Platinum Jubilee, there's a number of events in the village. On the Saturday, there's History Trail and a visit of the church and afternoon tea. And on the Sunday, there's a community barbecue and picnic, and all are most welcome to come along and celebrate together the fellowship of being in a community. And I think that's all that I need to mention just now. And I hand you over to Stella at Bledaff Chapel.
Hello, and welcome to everyone. And I thought you would take the opportunity, since the run was going past, to preach for a couple of hours while the roads are closed, but perhaps not. No, it should just impact those leaving the church, and there will be deviations and diversions around, so it shouldn't be too much of a problem. The only thing from our neck of the parish is the plant sale. Keep on trying to grow plants and deliver those to be sold on at the plant sale at the Chapel of Geary Village Hall at 10 to 12 on the 28th of May. And that will be a lovely coffee morning for everyone to come along and buy up some of your summer bedding. And now over to Helen in Kemney.
Thanks, Stella. Do you know, it's been lovely to see more people coming to church now that COVID restrictions are easing, and we'd like to extend a warm welcome to the community to come and worship with us next Sunday. For Christian Aid Week, Kemney are holding a sale on Saturday the 21st between 10 and 2 p.m. in the church centre. There'll be plants and crafts and home bakes for sale. Loaves and fishes will also be open for breakfast and lunch. And then we've got an evening entertainment planned for Friday the 27th at 7 p.m. where we've got music from Paradise Express and the Ukulele Band, two local bands. Suzanne, our Loaves and Fishes manager, is walking 25 miles in the kilt walk for Christian Aid. And you know, it would make her training easier and her step bolder if she knew she was raising lots of money for Christian Aid. So to find out how to sponsor Suzanne and for details of our events, please visit the Kemney Parish Church website. Finally, our thoughts and prayers are with Joshua for a speedy recovery. And now over to Tozzi.
Thank you. In Kindo, just a reminder of the Christian Aid Week, which starts this Sunday. So a reminder of those who want to donate through e-envelopes and those who want to donate through envelopes, you are welcome. And if you need more information, you can visit our website and our Facebook page. As far as that Christian Aid is concerned. And very happy that this year Christian Aid is focusing on Zimbabwe. If you want more information to know about Zimbabwe, I'm available and I will tell you. Now I hand over to Neil to continue with other announcements from Kindo.
Thank you. Thank you, Tose. Very, very good of Christian Aid to work their themes around us, don't you think? That's in the year that we have somebody from Zimbabwe with us, they decide to focus on that. That's great. Also at Kintore, just to say that and this Sunday in the afternoon, there'll be services in the sheltered housing at PLC and Early House. Next Sunday is our communion, our monthly communion service. So a reminder about that. And next Sunday is also the last Sunday that I'm with you folk here in this neck of the woods for a while. My daughter and I are walking the Camino de Santiago, and we leave on the 23rd of May, and we'll be away walking for five weeks. And we just ask for your prayers that we remain healthy and COVID free for that period. So that's about us. And back to Sheila at Echt in Midmar.
Thanks, Neil. Well, our focus, just like yours, is on Christian Aid this week and next week. In Echt Hall, after worship in Echt today, there will be a soup and sweet lunch, and that's open to anybody in the community or other parishes to come and join us with some fellowship and in raising funds for Christian Aid. The collection buckets for Christian Aid will be available both this Sunday and next Sunday as well. And then on the 29th of May, the fifth Sunday in May, will be a joint worship service, a praise service in Echt Church, where all our congregations will be coming together. But there will be more information about that next week. But as we go together now to worship, we're mindful that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we do rejoice and we are glad in it. Words from the prophet Micah. God has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Let us pray. Creator of all, sustainer of all, saviour of all, your glory and majesty are beyond our understanding, and your power beyond anything we can conceive. And yet in your greatness you reach out to us, and your love speaks to us through this time of worship. We're privileged to be in your presence, and we bless your name. Thank you, Lord God, for these moments together. Thank you that in worship we can put aside the uncertainties of this world and depend upon the certainties of your kingdom. Thank you that your faithfulness to us does not waver, that we can build our lives and our faith in your promises. We praise you, Holy One, that we can bring to you all the hurts and fears and issues that trouble us. And we can leave them here in your presence, knowing that your strength and assurance are all that we require. Speak to us now the words we need to hear, words of reassurance, pardon, understanding, inclusion. There is much that we might confess before you today. We're mindful of the risks of excess. We have too much. We consume too much. We expect too much. We're mindful of our lack of perspective. How simple it is to dismiss others' points of view, and how easy it is to see this world only through our own lens. Loving God, you've called us as disciples. And we are a part of your plan. We are your people. And although we're not perfect, you have a role and a purpose for each and every one of us. Help us to offer what we can to be the best we can be, to be the answer to prayer for someone else, and above all, to show something of your grace and mercy to others. Hear each of the prayers we offer to you this morning, for we offer them in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Let us hear God's word. I read to you from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 to 6. Hear God speak to us in these few verses. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." Amen. And thanks be to God for his most precious word.
In many of our churches this Sunday, we will be celebrating the beginning of Christian Aid Week. And I know that some of us are starting to collect money and invite folk to contribute to Christian Aid's and their work. So I thought it would be a good time to talk about compassion and say something about what compassion is and how it works and how it should work. I'm sure you've all read the bumper sticker or seen the expression, the bumper sticker that challenges us to commit random acts of kindness. And the truth is that it's a lovely thing to be challenged to commit a random act of kindness. It's something we can all do. Every one of us can be honest on occasion or take responsibility or be self-controlled. Every one of us can forgive other people or persevere in certain circumstances. We can be accepting of people who are different or strange. We can give to an appeal like Christian Aid. The truth is, all of us are capable of random acts of kindness. The question, rather, though, is, are we able to live according to values of charity and compassion? Can we practice such values all the time, even when there doesn't seem to be an immediate and obvious appeal or benefit to doing so? The 12th century Jewish philosopher and rabbi Maimonides listed 8 steps of charity or tzedakah, a righteousness. And they were gradations. You got better and better at doing charity as you went along. So at the very base level, level 1 was to give, but to do so with reluctance and with regret. In other words, to give with the hand, but not with the heart. A bit better than that is to give cheerfully, but not proportionately to the distress. Just a little bit, just a token, if you like. A bit better than that is to give cheerfully and proportionately, but only when you're asked. In other words, you don't do anything until somebody actually approaches you. Steps 4 to 7 then go through varying degrees of anonymity in our giving. And then we come to step number 8, the 8th and most meritorious of all forms of charity, is to anticipate charity, says Maimonides. To anticipate it by preventing poverty, either by sharing wealth with the less wealthy before they're totally impoverished or destitute, or by teaching them trades and setting them up in honest business. You see, while random acts of kindness or compassion are all good and well, they don't actually change society into a more compassionate one. Our reading for today is from Revelation 21, and I'd like to approach this reading from a slightly different angle today, by asking the question, what effect did this passage have on its first readers? In other words, what outcome did reading this passage produce? Revelation 21 is part of a vision from John's book of Revelation. It's a vision of the world to come, a new heaven and a new earth. Here we see a utopian society in which God is eternally present and in which there is no more death or mourning or crying or pain. In short, there is no loss and there are no losers. It doesn't say there are no winners, although I don't know if we are able to conceive of a world in which there are winners that with other people not feeling as though they've lost something. Well, that's a matter for philosophers to unpack. But on the face of it, as we read this passage, it sounds like a utopian, otherworldly paradise reserved for those who've passed on from this world. This is not achievable here and now. This will happen long after we've left this place. Or so it seems. But how did the early Christians interpret and use this text? You may be interested to know that this and similar texts were given tremendous political and social immediacy in the early church. These were not just seen as insurmountable pipe dreams that should be held up as ideals for the impossibly distant future. Instead, they were interpreted as very practical and realistic models for the present Christian society. Now, we may wonder how realistic it is to say that the ideal of a new heaven and a new earth became a reality. If it did, certainly it didn't last very long, because today there's lots of mourning and crying and pain. Yet when you read the history of the early church, even in the time of the writing of the book of Acts, we read that the communities who were living in the midst of a generally uncompassionate world, much less compassionate than our society, nevertheless began to live compassionately among themselves within their own community. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, for example, we read that the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. All came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as they had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread in their homes and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. When commentators outside the church looked at the church and were critical of all sorts of things about the church, the one thing they couldn't get away from and wrote as follows, they said, "Look how they love one another." That was the visible thing that the rest of the world could see about the church. So what I'm suggesting here is actually quite challenging. I'm not talking primarily about our support for Christian Aid or other charities. I'm not talking about our support for local charities like the food bank and other things that are happening locally. I'm talking about compassion beginning right within our own church communities, within our own congregations. I'm talking about us becoming communities, small communities, but communities where compassion rather than competition rule, where we don't have to have any losers, or even winners for that matter, where we choose to be honest, forgiving, and compassionate, first of all, towards one another, where the stranger is welcome, where the sick is visited, the sick are visited, and the hungry are fed. Now, some of you might not like this because you feel it demands too much, because I'm asking you for more than just being at church or online on a Sunday. I'm asking you to actually share your life with the rest of us. There will be others who will say, who they don't like what I'm saying because you think it achieves too little. Shouldn't we think bigger? Shouldn't we talk about feeding the hungry all over the world? Shouldn't we be concerned as Christian aiders about the refugees in every corner of the world? But I'm asking you to start small, and not with words, but with bread and vegetables and broth, and with laughter and tears, not by holding lofty ideals about Christian values, but by actually holding each other. You see, if we're not a compassionate community ourselves amongst one another, then the contributions we make to Christian Aid and other charities will never be more than self-righteous posturing and pity. And we'll never be able to see the people we support in those charities as truly being our sisters and our brothers until we start to see this odd motley crew of people within our own community as our brothers and our sisters. May God bless you with the vision of a new heaven and a new earth coming to a congregation near you. Amen.
Let us pray. God of the past, the present and the future. What next is such a big question, but we trust you for all that it is to come as we pray for countries in turmoil. Those where entire cities have been destroyed and infrastructures paralyzed, in Syria, in Ukraine, in Yemen, and in many more places. May the old order of war pass away and a new order of peace flourish. In Jesus' name we pray. We pray for countries and communities where crops have been decimated and livestock have perished. May the old order of famine pass away and a new order of abundance flourish. What next is such a big question for young people too. We pray for those around the world thinking about careers, about next steps for all, especially girls and young women in Afghanistan and elsewhere who are denied an education, for those who struggle to see a future for themselves at all. May the old orders of pressure and prejudice pass away and a new order of confidence and opportunity flourish. In Jesus' name we pray. What next is such a big question for those who feel at the end of their strength. We pray for those caring for children with complex needs, for those caring for family with dementia or chronic illness, for those suffering from depression, for those worn out by grief. May the old order of struggle pass away and the new order of support flourish. In Jesus' name we pray. What next is such a big question for our churches and for ourselves. We pray for wisdom for those who guide and lead, for resilience for congregations amid indifference, and for ourselves as we navigate the challenges of living faithfully today, tomorrow, and the next day. In Jesus' name we pray. And we finish as he taught us with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And we'll now sing our final hymn.
Every tongue agrees to sing.
Go now in peace, assured of the mercy and of the love of Almighty God. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Spirit rest upon you and remain with you and with people everywhere, today and always. Amen.